Hello and welcome back to another episode, another NFL Sunday in the books, the third week of the NFL season, and it's been a great ride so far. I'm back with my great friend, Connor Cavanaugh, to talk another NFL week in review. First off, man, how was your week? How was your Sunday? Hopefully it was, you know, it was not too bad. It was a couple things that went down, but overall, how was your weekend of football, man?
My Sunday sucked. The Commanders looked like they should be in the XFL, and the Chiefs ruined my four-leg parlay.
Oh, no.
That would have won me some good money and made me feel better about Washington. But in all seriousness, finally feel like we're starting to get into the thick of things here, starting to feel like what, you know, teams are really shaping up to be. So it's definitely good to see, you know, some real football start to, you know, take shape here as we end out week 3.
Yeah, man. A lot of teams starting to ramp up intensity, it looks like. Teams starting to click things together. Football is, you know, not as sloppy, and it's a good watch now. It's not an ugly watch. But overall, I guess I did, too, have a little bit of unfortunate circumstances when it comes to betting on Sunday. But you know what? We didn't lose all money. That's always a good thing. I mean, usually your pockets are empty by the end of the week, and, you know, you save up a couple days and say, all right, Sunday's going to be a new day, and then it never works out.
Yep.
So, as for that, let's go for the game of the week, the Steelers versus the Browns. Any opening remarks on that game?
Yeah, my first remark, that was not the game of the week. Second remark is, I mean, Trubisky's bad. I mean, I know they want to keep Kenny Pickett down, you know, just learning for a little bit longer, but if the Steelers want, you know, have any aspirations for, you know, winning some games and being competitive this year, they're gonna want to, you know, turn to Pickett sooner rather than later. Because even though we don't know what Pickett is, it can't be much worse than what Mitch is. I mean, he just doesn't do anything good. Like, it, you know, he hasn't been, you know, so bad to the point where, you know, he's turning the ball over like crazy or anything like that so far for Pittsburgh. But he doesn't make any plays to win. And for, you know, Pittsburgh, they're in a tough spot now. Sitting at, you know, 1-2 with a somewhat fluky week 1 win against the Bengals.
Yeah,
so,
you
know,
fluky.
They could very well have been 0-3. And if, you know, if you're a Steelers fan, you know, not very often do you sit back and look at an 0-3 Pittsburgh, you know, team. So definitely a little bit concerned for the Steelers. And then on the Browns front, you know, Nick Chubb, he looked really good. And, you know, we know, you know, what he's made of, and, you know, we know what he's about. So no surprise there, but he did look good. You know, the Browns were able to come out with a nice win at home, and Pittsburgh's got to figure out their quarterback situation.
Yeah, definitely. Here's one thing with Pittsburgh that I still don't really know the answer to, is what they're trying to do this season. I don't know if they're trying to make a push for the playoffs, try to see what, you know, they can do with what their bunch is, or kind of just slightly rebuild without really rebuilding, without calling it a rebuild, maybe just a retooling, as some NFL teams would say. But they're in the middle ground for me. They're kind of like, I think they're undecisive.
And I feel like that's the worst place to be.
It is. It's like they're just in the middle where it's like you're not really going to win. You're not trying to lose. But you just got guys that are playing that should be better. But having Mr. Trubisky at your helm is just really not saying, okay, like to your fans, to the coach. Like, well, I guess the coach has nothing to do with it. But saying to your fans that, hey, you know what? We're just kind of got to go out there and plateau for a season and see where we're at and go into it next year. When you have some guys, like you have the Najee Harris who got panged up, you have Chase Claypool who has had a decent rookie year, Deontay Johnson, who I think is number one receiver, and just some of these guys that should be able to win some games in the NFL. Defense has been very good. Unfortunately, I think they lost TJ Watt, which is definitely a big blow. But these guys should be able to win some games, and it's weird. It's weird for me that they're kind of in the middle and don't really know what to do. The quarterback position is the most important position in football, obviously the most talked about position in football. So I don't know what they do from there, but what I really saw, any takeaways from this game, was really on the Browns side. I think the Browns defensively looked pretty good. I mean, I guess it's not really hard to look great against Mitch Trubisky in this offense right now because it's not clicking. It's not been really good whatsoever. And another thing was Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was a weird trade in the offseason. I think they got traded from the Cowboys for like a fifth or sixth or something.
Wasn't really a big conversation.
No, it wasn't a conversation whatsoever. And he's been pretty good for them. He'd kind of been under the radar for Jacoby Brissett, who is another one of those guys, another team that just, I don't know what they're going to do, because Jacoby Brissett, I guess, you know, they're going to stay afloat until Deshaun Watson gets back, obviously, but we'll see what they do. But he's been very good for them. He had 11 targets, 101 yards on Sunday, Amari Cooper, and he's had a couple big days for them receiving, and that's good to see that your guy you signed, you traded for, who's had great seasons in the past, who's been a solidified number one in Las Vegas or Oakland before coming here, and looked pretty good again on Sunday, or on Thursday, sorry, game of the week. So we'll see going on there. I think the Browns are better suited in this division. I think if they can just keep winning games that they should win, Deshaun Watson comes back, that team is going to be better, and I guess we'll go from there. But until then, they should be, you know, right around a 500 or a couple games 500 record until their eight-game suspension is over. Let's move on to another team that needs to figure something out quickly. That's the Raiders. The Raiders are 0-3. The Raiders haven't looked good. Their offense is kind of, it looks kind of stale. It's surprising because it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be bad. And it's really depressing to me. What are your thoughts, man? Because I don't know what to think about the Raiders right now.
Carr and Devontae haven't really clicked yet, which is a little surprising to me because they have a long history of, you know, playing together and being super close. I didn't think it was going to take a super long time for them to click, but it hasn't really seemed like they've clicked a ton. He had a big game in week one against the Chargers, but the last, you know, 2 weeks he's been kind of subpar for, you know, what we're used to from Devontae, and it just seems like Carr has been, you know, crumbling late in games, and you know, you just can't have that from your quarterback, especially with, you know, the talent that they have on both sides of the ball in Vegas. It just it's baffling that they're 0-3. It really is. I mean I picked them to win their division, and they're, you know, they can't even pull out, you know, a win against, you know, a pretty middle of the pack Titans team as of right now. So definitely got to get, you know, clicked with Devontae, and Carr's got to start, you know, making some better decisions late in games, and it just seems like the moment's been too big for him in a couple of these games early on, and through the first 3 weeks, it just shouldn't be that way.
I wonder if he's feeling pressure, because every week now, he's just going to be like, all right, you guys got to go shine. I mean, you're playing a Titans defense who's not great, that they should be able to, with those guys on that team, put some points up. They put 22 points up, which is not enough. It's not enough. It's just, they scored one touchdown, I think, this week, last week. How many touchdowns did they score? Maybe two. Whatever it is. They didn't score at all plenty enough. And it's really, really, really startling, because I don't know how many more games in this. That's a tough division, that they're going to have a bunch more division games to play that they're going to win. If they got to get out of this hole, they got to start winning quickly. And it might turn into a situation where, well, you know, this could be not an all-time failure, but it's just an experiment that didn't work. That, you know, you bring in Devontae Adams to make yourself a force, to make yourself a team, that an offense that going forward you're going to win divisions and going to compete to win divisions and maybe make a run in the playoffs. Because Derek Carr has shown previously that he's been a pretty decent quarterback and a guy that can get you there but can never get over the hump. Right now, he's not really getting you there. He's getting to the point where he's now expected and he's not performing. And it's really depressing. Because I was a big fan of Derek Carr. I thought Derek Carr was, you know, I would say top 15, top 12 quarterback in this league. Some could argue top 10 a couple of years back, but this guy really hasn't delivered. And as much as it's on him, as much as it might be on coach, as much as it just might be on the guys just not being ready to go, they also don't have a run game going on right now. Josh Jacobs has been underperforming. These guys, I mean, they ran the ball 15 times in this game. 16 times, maybe. And Derek Carr threw the ball 44 times. I mean, it's just, at that point, you're just forcing it down their throats, and it's just forced, and that you can't win like that. A guy that stood out to me in this game wasn't really anything on the Raiders, was more Derrick Henry. He got back to being Derrick Henry
this game. Yep, we saw good Henry back. We saw the king.
Yeah, the king returned. He reclaimed his throne. which was very nice to see. He put up 85 yards in a tutty, which was good. But it's the same thing for even the Titans team. If he doesn't do that, who knows? But this Titans team, like you said, middle of the pack, they're not great. They're really not good. And we said it before, I don't know where this team goes without Derrick Henry at all. They could very well be 0-3. And in the same boat as, I would say, who? Like, they're the same teams as, like, the Cardinals. They're the same teams as, I guess, the Raiders at this point. Same teams as, I don't know. You can pick throughout the NFL. They've been a little bit disappointing so far this season. And it's still early, but 0-3 in the NFL is not a great start to be. Even 1-2 when you should have easy wins on your schedule. Not saying this was an easy win at all. I didn't expect them to win this game. I expected the Raiders to win this game. But seeing how it played out and seeing how their season's played out, Derrick Henry needs to be more effective. And this is finally 1 week he did. I just don't know how many weeks he's going to do that, because this Raiders defense in front, other than Max Crosby, isn't really that sharp.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough for me to judge Henry right now. With A.J. Brown leaving in the offseason, Ryan Tannehill's wide receiving room is left pretty bare. So, as a defense, your whole game plan for, you know, attacking the Titans offense is Derrick Henry. So, yeah. For me, you know, there's absolutely, no big name, in the passing room that is going to scare other teams, and they're just going to load the box and they're not going to let Derrick Henry beat them. But Derrick Henry, he was able to win today, and he did have a big day. And like you said, it was nice to see. I don't know how sustainable it is, just because I don't think that their offense is balanced enough, like I just said. But, it was nice to see. And, you know, Tennessee got a win, which, you know, they desperately needed at home. It was a good win. I mean, 22-24 against, what we thought was a good
it's definitely a good
team in Vegas. So, you know, a good win for Tennessee, and, you know, you just need more of these big games out of the King.
Yeah, you do, and you're right. You hit it on the head. It's a Tennessee personnel problem. They're not suited to really give their guy, who they've been leaning on for so long now, a chance to just keep doing it. Yep. It's not going to be easy, and this guy's body's going to wear down. And if you're not going to help him now, he's not going to be as great next year. Running backs don't last in this league anymore. They really don't. Once you get up in the 28, 29 range, you're a backup.
Yeah.
It's really tough. So, going forward, I think both teams need to, figure something out. Good for the Titans to get a win at home.
Yeah, both of these teams are in the rear view right now. And
yeah.
They're not being thought of as, anything major until we start to see a little bit more. So, both these teams are in the same boat.
Definitely. Another team that was in, that's in the Raiders division here, that cost you some money on Sunday, which is unfortunate. The Chiefs and the Colts, which, that's a weird, really weird game to me, because the Colts have shown literally nothing. And we all knew the Colts aren't that bad. We know they're not bad. They're well coached. They have guys. Matt Ryan isn't a pitiful quarterback, but he's played like one up until this game. And it was a great win for the Colts, to be honest. Some decision-making on the Chiefs' side really blew my mind with when the Chiefs got close to in the red zone.
The Andy Reid special.
And the Eric Bieniemy special, too. I mean, him and Patrick Mahomes had a little scuffle on the sideline, had an argument that got blown off, of course, after he talked to reporters. But it's been really weird. I don't know why the Chiefs got to get cute, got to get all special, try to do these trick plays. They love their shuffle pass, and it's very readable now, I think, for most teams. And excuse me, the Colts defensively aren't awful. Did Darius Leonard play in this game?
No,
he didn't play in this game. So that's one area you might be able to exploit with Travis Kelce, which I don't think they did enough. I think he had a drop in this game.
Yeah, a big drop.
He had a big drop. Yeah, a big drop in this game. Which I'm sure you watched it and said, jeez, you couldn't believe it. But, yeah, I don't really think this is more a takeaway from the Chiefs. I think this is more a takeaway for the Chiefs having to play. They can't play down to their opponent. I think they did more than the Colts, played a really good football game to win this one this week.
I totally agree. I totally think that this was more about Kansas City than it was about Indianapolis. I mean, Indianapolis their defense in the second half and really throughout the whole game was really solid, and that's the reason they won the game. Matt Ryan made a couple of big plays on that final drive, was able to get them down for a touchdown, and they needed a win, and they played like they needed a win, and they desperately needed it, and they got it. Good for them. In terms of Kansas City, I mean, everything you said, and there's even more to talk about. I mean, when I was, you know, I was watching this game, and obviously, you know, their kicker Harrison Bucker is hurt right now.
Yeah.
But you know, they lost this game because of kicking. They missed a field goal in the fourth quarter. They missed an extra point earlier in the game. They lost by three. That mm-hmm. I mean that's a win if both of those kicks are made, and they were both I think extra points are 30-something, 33, 34.
Yeah, weren't big kicks.
And the field goal was 34, so they weren't big kicks. You know, obviously, this is why, you know, kickers are such a big deal now in the NFL, because games really do come down to them, especially early in the year. We're seeing a lot of close games that are coming down to late-game field goals, and it cost them today. But I do also absolutely agree with you that there was just a lot of things about the Chiefs' offensive output in this game that were just poor. I mean, they didn't run the ball.
Mm-mm, no well, running at all.
And they didn't even really try as the game went on. I mean, that's one thing about Andy Reid that I see in multiple instances. If they can't get the running game early, they kind of abandon it, and they put the ball in Mahomes' hands way too much. And they did that in this game. They didn't run the football, and like you said, they were sloppy in the red zone. They tried to get too cute. Kelce dropped a big ball in the end zone. Just not really a prime Kansas City game that we're used to seeing where everything works. It didn't really work today, I mean on Sunday, and they weren't able to make the simple, you know, little plays and do the little things to win with all of that on top of it. So, yeah. You know, a good win for the Colts. Kansas City, I don't think it's, you know, a huge concern. For me, I'm not concerned about them at all. Back to the drawing board, and like you said, I totally agree. They got to stop being so cute in the red zone. They've run that play a billion times.
We all see it. We see it every game.
If they get inside the 5-yard line, I mean that as an opponent is in the defensive playbook now. It's not a trick play anymore.
Yeah, they're doing too much behind the line of scrimmage, and it's like I hate when teams are close. And they're, you know, near the end zone, or they need a big first down.
There's just too many bad things.
And you throw the ball backwards. The ball should not move backward.
Yep.
The ball should move forward. And when you're that close, I think one series of downs in that quarter was them just trying to do too much. And that team, that caliber, they get away with it a lot of the time because they're the Chiefs. Well, it doesn't work. You look stupid.
Yeah.
And they look pretty stupid this game. I mean, they had one other portion of this game where I think they were driving down the field before half. This was Pat Mahomes got, you know, wanting to keep going and try to get his, you know, field position. And that never happened because, you know, discombobulated, let's just get it back at half. And who knows? But it ended up biting him in the butt. They ended up losing by three. And about the rushing game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this is an insane stat, had 7 rushing attempts, 0 rushing yards, and a touchdown. I mean, other than him and Jerick McKinnon, who 7 times for 20 yards, you're giving this team no chance. This is that you're not going to win that way.
You can win
selective games,
yeah. But
your guy's rushing 7 times for no yards. You're not helping anyone. You're not helping Pat Mahomes, who's already under some pressure now with just having been too sharp really to start the year. But having to do it all, and he's been Mr. Do It All for you the whole last 3 years, and he's going to have to continue to be that if they're going to run the ball like this, and that's a real shame because this team should be better than this, and it's just a blip on the radar for them, and both of our opinions, I'm sure.
Yep.
But it wasn't pretty,
no.
And good for the Colts. They took advantage of a sloppy situation, and they got a win. It was at home.
Yep.
They got a win when they needed one, and it was big for them to stay in that division race.
Hopefully, a fire starter for them, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another fire-starting type of game, or another really fun game. This was, again, one of the most fun games to watch this weekend. Bills versus Dolphins, who, in for the Dolphins' case, came in as, I think, a 4-point underdog. These guys, you know, they battled. They came back against the Ravens last week. offense was insane. This week, you didn't really see the offense go off this point. Even with the Bills' ruptured secondary, they had, I think, both their starting safeties out and a couple other players in the back end out of this game. But my big takeaway from the Dolphins was Tua came in, battled, the defense put him in this game, and they made one drive, and they took advantage of it, and they ended up winning the football game. Simple as that.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Miami yet, but this was a really good win. I mean, we saw some of the things from Buffalo that we just talked about with Kansas City. Some stupid
right.
mistakes that, you know, were definitely fixable. So from a Buffalo standpoint, I'm not concerned at all about this game. Miami, they came out and they got a really nice win. I mean, you know, Tua gets hurt midway through the game. Teddy Bridgewater comes in, and as soon as Bridgewater came in, Buffalo just started bringing immediate pressure. Which is what they should do, and it worked. I mean, Bridgewater looked awful on that first drive he was out there. And from the way I see it, they were not winning this game if Tua didn't come back. So whether Tua came back, you know, for the right reasons or not, because, you know, there are some reports out now that, you know, they might have pushed him through the concussion protocol a little bit, of, you know, illegally or
mm-hmm.
illegal is not the right word, but whatever the case may be,
yeah,
they weren't going to win this game if Tua didn't come back. He had, the one really big drive. A couple of funny things in this game with the butt fumble and, I mean, the butt punt and, you know, everybody, you know, falling all over the place
with the safety,
everybody dying of heat, heat exhaustion. But, you know, a good win for Miami, definitely a big confidence booster as, you know, they're going to be playing Cincinnati on Thursday. But I'm still not sold on them, and I'm definitely still sold on the Bills. This doesn't change my thought on Buffalo.
I didn't change my thought either. This is a big win for them, especially in division. This is a big in-division win. I mean, no matter what comes down the line, seeding or if Miami's going to continue this pace and make a shot for the playoffs, this is a big win for them head-to-head-wise, big win for them just against conference and your division record. But I think it's more on this defense for Miami that really stepped out because their offense really didn't do nothing crazy other than the big play at the end of the game, which was just finding Waddle deep down, just deep in the middle of the field. Took advantage of that, put up a lead, and that was good for them. I think Allen had three fumbles in this game. He coughed the ball up a bunch of times. He tried to do it all late again. It was one of those times where he threw the ball 63 times in this game. And it was a two point loss. If you're throwing the football 63 times at a 2-point loss, then there's something wrong. There's something going on. That goes off play calling and really, really didn't help him out at all and gave this Miami team plenty of time to just dial in on whatever he was doing because they knew what he was doing. I mean, if you're throwing the ball 45, even 50, or 45-plus times in this game, you know the philosophy. You know the scheme they're going with, their game plan for this game is to just try to pound at you. And just keep forcing the ball down. Just keep throwing the ball down the field and trying to make the big plays and using these guys who really, I mean, didn't do too much. We didn't see Stephon Diggs really have a huge game. We had him have a good game. Didn't have a great game. Devin Singletary had a decent game receiving-wise. He didn't do anything on the ground. 9 rushes for 13 yards on the ground, which is literally nothing. You're giving no input out of your guys in the backfield. But It's weird. It's a weird game for me. Again, I think this is just kind of like the Chiefs game. It's one of those games where things happen. You play a little sloppy. The team gets the best of you. One play when you're just not expecting it or you're just not prepared for it. And it was tough. They couldn't come back, obviously. They had a chance. The butt punt. They had one chance to get down the field. They couldn't do it. And so be it. The Dolphins took advantage and got a decent win here at home to start the year for sure. So, want to go to another game here, the Vikings game, which was very interesting to me, which I honestly was one of the more exciting games as well on this schedule to watch. I thought the Lions were going to upset this game. I had them to win this game, actually, going into it, looking over it on Sunday. And they were winning this game throughout the whole game, and they looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Their defense, Jeff Okuda, shut down Justin Jefferson again. That's 2 weeks in a row that Justin Jefferson has done nothing.
Yeah, before you continue.
Yeah, go, let me hear it.
Jeff Okuda, in week one, held Devontae Smith of the Philadelphia Eagles to 0 yards. Week two, Terry McLaurin, another top wide receiver, Washington Commanders, four catches, 75, but one, it was one big one. And the rest of the game, he was held to nothing. And then Justin Jefferson this week, three catches, 14. Jeff Okuda's showing out for Detroit. Continue.
Yeah, he is out of the. I think he was out all of last year.
Yeah, he was.
Easy with an ACL or something, with an injury, and he was their number one corner that everyone you know was crazy about, and forgot about him. Went to Ohio, did he go to Ohio State? Was it Ohio State? I don't know what's he. I don't know where he went.
I don't know where he went.
But that's not too. That's not to matter. But yeah, he's looked very good to start the year, and obviously the stats back it up. He's a big reason why they were in this game. Obviously, if you have one guy. You have one corner to shut down your opposing threat. That helps everybody out, especially on a weaker defense for Detroit. So, but going into Detroit, they look good. They look pretty good. I think their potential is capped by Jared Goff. I don't think they can do as much as they really want to do receiving wise. Even though the receivers had a pretty good game all around, but you don't see Jared Goff really extending plays. You kind of just seeing Jared Goff kind of. He's a traditional passer, and at least just right now in his career, and it's not really exciting for me. I mean, out of all, you have a young team that really has some good hype around them and some good young players around them, and I think he limits them definitely. I don't really know what Detroit is really supposed to be. I know Detroit this year is supposed to be kind of like that gritty team and see what they got, and maybe they can do something to just you know put up a manageable wins line this year, but I think this for Detroit was just them letting up late and kind of not knowing how to win games yet. They don't know how to win games because that's at least for me from Detroit standpoint.
Yeah, we saw this in week two with the Commanders. They went up 22-0, and as you know, as the second half started to you know whittle along, they you're right, they don't know how to win games yet. They're too young. They were able to pull out you know the one in Washington, but Minnesota is, you know, a different animal. They're experienced. There's a lot of veteran guys on that team. And, you know, you're not going to be able to just coast to a win with, you know, an early lead against a team like that. I was really pulling for Detroit to win this game.
Same, for some reason,
I really do find myself pulling for Detroit this year. I don't know if it's the hard knocks, or if they're
a fun team to root for.
But in terms of football, you know, we finally saw, you know, a good day from Dalvin Cook. He got banged up late in the game.
Yeah,
you know, hopefully he'll be good to go in week four. But definitely saw a good game out of him, 96 yards and a touchdown. Good to see, you know, him back to full strength, especially with Jefferson, you know, having the quiet day he did. And then the DeAndre Swift injury is going to be a big one for Detroit. He's been a big part of their offense. I know Jamal Williams has been really solid backing him up, and he's going to have to take a bigger role, I think, this week. I'm not sure if Swift is going to be playing.
I think he is.
I think he's doubtful right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big hit for Detroit. So hopefully they can keep, you know, this through 3 weeks high-powered offense going without their best guy.
Yeah, it was just crazy to say. They put up some decent points each week. And you know what? It's fun. It really is fun. Like you said, it's a fun team to root for. And it's, you know, it's a team I want to see pull in these close games, get some wins under their belt. I love Dan Campbell. Probably it's the Hard Knocks thing, but Dan Campbell's an animal, and I love him. But anything for the Vikings? Anything else I got? It's just you know, I mean, Kirk Cousins. He had a pedestrian, just normal kind of day.
It's
a Kirk Cousins day. He kind of just did a little bit of everything. Looked sloppy, you know, threw the touchdown, threw some yards, but overall, it was just the better team got the win at the end of the game. That's basically the forefront of it, and we move on. We move on to a Jaguars game, who I couldn't believe. First off, in this Jaguars Chargers game, I didn't think they were actually going to push Justin Herbert out there.
I didn't either.
I said to myself, this is early in the year. You can't force anything. Doesn't look like it's going to be a lingering injury. Just rest him up. Just get him good. You're playing the Jaguars. I get it. You get as many wins under your belt, especially in a division that's tough. But I think putting him out there didn't do anything but hurt him. I mean, he didn't look comfortable out there. He didn't look comfortable at all. He made a couple nice throws, which is kind of surprisingly, but Justin Herbert's a great quarterback. So he made some nice throws. And they made him throw the ball 45 times with injured ribs. I mean, you can't do that to a guy. You can't do that to the guy who's going to take hits. He didn't get hit too much in this game. But I don't know really what the takeaway is in this game other than just Trevor Lawrence looked better. Which was really nice to see, and them being stupid to play Justin Herbert, I don't really feel bad for the Chargers in this 38-10 loss. And I'm also a Doug Peterson fan, so I can't, you know, really root against Dougie P. other than this upcoming week when they play the Birds. But I think in this game, it was more or so just Trevor Lawrence looking pretty solid. Looked like a completely better quarterback than he's done the past 2 weeks. Looked against a really good defense, too. This is a tough defense to play against. And they took full advantage of this injury from Herbert and capitalized on almost every mistake. So,
yeah, I don't think it mattered who was in a quarterback for the Chargers on Sunday because they couldn't stop Trevor defensively. Yeah, he did look really good. I think this is his best game as a pro, which is definitely good to see. Definitely you have to see a ton more, you know, than one game.
Of course,
You know, on a Sunday against the Chargers, but definitely a good sign for Jaguars fans because you didn't see a game like this last year. So, you know, and he does have, you know, some weapons, you know, this year that he didn't have last year so that are definitely helping him out. I mean, James Robinson's been really good. I know he was there last year, but ETN was hurt all year last year, and he looks like he's really going to start, you know, having, you know, a bigger, you know, target share in the offense. And then Christian Kirk's been really good for them.
They have
coming
really
over.
Good.
They gave him big money, and it was a little bit of a head-scratching contract in a lot of people's eyes. He's been really solid through the first couple of weeks in Jacksonville. I totally agree. They shouldn't have pushed Herbert. He's your franchise. You rest him. Yeah, I totally agree. It's too early, but it didn't matter. This was a big win for the Jaguars. And honestly, they look okay to start the year. Maybe they're, you know, a team that's going to be a little bit surprising with Doug Peterson at the helm. So Good day for Trevor Lawrence and for the Chargers defensively. You got to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely got to tighten up. It's kind of the opposite of the Lions to a point. It's basically the Lions hype. Not really hype, but just how the Lions play. It's how I see the Jaguars play. They don't really give up on anything. They're in to just play every down, every series, and kind of just go after it. And whatever happens, happens on Sundays. And today they got a really big 28-point win. And you mentioned Christian Kirk. Zay Jones, also another guy who's been pretty good, a little bit under Christian Kirk, but who scored a touchdown, I think, every week, Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
So far to start the year, which is pretty insane to see, because his contract is a hefty contract. I totally disagree with the contract, to be honest.
So did I. And but honestly, right now, they look right. It's only a couple weeks, but they look right.
Yeah, it's paid off so far, which is definitely pretty crazy, not going to lie to you. But, yeah, a takeaway from this game, just they took care of a Chargers team that might have just emotionally, with the Herbert thing, with whatever it might have been, just didn't look right. And you catch a team slipping on a sudden day, and you put a pounding to them, and that's what they did. So it was definitely a good win for them.
Yeah. One last thing. Mike Williams needs to be more consistent.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
One catch for 15 yards. And it was a touchdown, but got to be more consistent. You got to get more out of him, especially with Keenan Allen being banged up early in the year. Just need 100% without a doubt. Need to see more from Mike Williams, or this offense is not going to be as powerful as we thought it would be.
No, it's not going to move, and it didn't move. It didn't move on Sunday, so you're right. And he's on my fantasy team, so I would love to see him start to do something else. You know, obviously
you
week
go.
Two was nice.
Yeah,
but it's
that's
it's
what I'm saying.
Same
the consistency.
Old thing. It's the same old thing with Mike Williams.
Two but out of 3 weeks, he's giving you nothing.
I took the chance on him because I figure, you know, it's either 1 year. You know, he's got to put it together. He has all, you know, the weapons around him put together, and he hasn't done it. But it's okay. That's all right. No need fancy talk. Everyone hears it enough, and you know I'm sure everyone suffers at home, so it's all right. Another team that's very non-fantasy friendly was this Packers-Bucks game. Unless you're a Romeo Doubs fan. Dude, what's his last name? Is it Doubs, Doobs?
I say
cool.
Doubs.
It's kind of cool. I like the name.
Yeah, it's I guess it's up to viewer's discretion.
Yes. Aaron Rodgers and Romeo Doubs really were the only two guys that showed out for this offense for the Packers, and all really offense overall for both teams. It was really
a defensive battle.
No one could get an inch. No one took the mile when they had the chance. I think just whoever got better field position, who had one better drive, won the football game, and that's what the Packers did. They had one better drive than them and got it done. Held on late when it looked like Tom was going to do something. Tom terrific. They ended up scoring a touchdown late in this game to take a chance to win it. Two-point conversion was no good on a delay game penalty, which definitely hurts and backs them up 5 yards. But it's a good one for the Packers, you know? I mean, it's the same thing every year for the Packers, man. Slow start, and everyone gets up in arms. And obviously, it's a different team this year with the Packers and not having any really solid weapons on paper other than your running backs who didn't do anything in this game. But they're 2-1 now, and Aaron Rodgers looks like he's doing fine. It's just the guys got to click, and it was a gritty, tough battle, and they pulled it out.
Yeah, these are two really good defenses. So offensively, for Green Bay, I'm not too worried. This Bucs front really did shut down Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, especially Aaron Jones, only 3 yards of carry, which is just not what we're used to seeing.
Also on my fantasy team.
You must have had a rough week.
Yeah, it was a rough week.
But, you know, Rodgers, you know, it seems like he's starting to get the connection with Alan Lazard back a little bit. I'm not really worried about Green Bay's offense. Tampa Bay's defense is really, really good. I am a little bit worried about Tampa Bay. They were really beat up. Tom Brady took a lot of hits in this game. It was a really ugly offensive game. And, the offense is decimated right now. So, you know, you can look at all that and you can say, you know what, you know, Brady and the offense, they deserve a little bit of a mulligan for, you know, these last couple of weeks of, you know, rough offensive play. For me, Leonard Fournette just needs to do more. I mean, this guy is out there every single snap and...
Yeah.
You just don't see the production.
He's getting the touches.
Yeah.
He's getting the touches.
Yeah. I mean, they continue to give the ball to him. Right now, they have nobody else to give the ball to, and he's still not producing. And even when everybody was there to start the year, he just hasn't had, you know, a good start. We talked about it last week. Brady doesn't look like true Brady yet, and I think it'll take a little bit. I think he'll get there eventually. But, again, I'm not really worried about either of these teams. It was a really good defensive battle to watch. It was good to see not, you know, touchdowns every drive, you know, back and forth. It was good to see a nice defensive, you know, classic battle. And Rodgers came out on top. That penalty really did hurt them.
It did.
On the two-point conversion. Yeah, it did. So, yeah, just a good defensive battle.
I think it's actually the first true defensive battle more than sloppy play. It's just the guys, you know, they went in there and hit hard and did well. I don't know about this Buccaneers team yet, man. I don't really know because... The whole Brady coming back, I'm still going to go back to the drama that he's got in the back of his head, I'm sure. Even the players want to think, maybe see how committed he is to this team. And obviously they were not healthy at all. They really had no one to help him out offensively. But I'm struggling to think that this Buccaneers team is going to stay engaged over this stretch of the season this year just because I think that locker room might be a little bit up in the air right now. With just the mentality in there and how people are getting along with each other, which plays a big role when you're playing a game like football, when everyone's got to be on the same page at all time, and you got to stick it in whether you like it or not. Baseball's different. You're individual. You don't have to talk to nothing. You go up there and do your thing, get back. Football's different, man. And I don't know. I don't like at all what I've seen from Tom Brady so far this year. I don't like what I've seen even when the stars were in the game. When they played in Dallas, I didn't like it at all there. Dallas has a good defense, though. I'm going to have to give it to them. Their defense is actually very legit.
Scary.
But I don't know, man. When Tampa last year played good defenses, it didn't matter. They put it to them, and they made another run. Obviously, they lost, I think, the championship game, but they made a run. And this year, I don't know if they got it, man. I seriously don't. I don't know if Brady is going to be able to just do this all year. It's been mediocre, and I am a little bit worried for the Buccaneers. I'm not saying they're going to miss the playoffs or nothing crazy, but... I wouldn't be surprised if they get bounced around week one. I wouldn't be surprised if they might not win the division, even though that division is not great. It's not great. But no one's really playing great football right now. Until one team figures it out, which it should be the Buccaneers, I don't know.
No, you're totally right. I mean, what we've seen so far from Tom Brady and the Buccaneers gives you no confidence in them. I mean, they just haven't looked good, and you're totally right. Tom Brady hasn't looked good. I'm just banking on the fact that it's Tom Brady, and, you know, he always figures it out, and there's one man in sports you don't bet against, and it's Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
It's a long name, man.
It is. Michigan it boy. Is. But you're right. He hasn't looked good, so they're definitely going to need to figure it out, and they have a lot of things to figure out, especially health-wise. But, you know, they'll get Mike Evans back next week, so, you know, hopefully they look a little bit better.
They definitely should look a little bit better. We'll see how it goes and plays out for the rest of the year. The 49ers-Broncos game was a sleeper. It was just a snoozer. I mean, people that stayed up...
Less than a sleeper?
I don't know. You're walking down the side of New York City. You might have a few pieces of gum. You pick up the shoe. and that thing stretches. You can't get it off your fingers. It's just disgusting. That's what this football game was. You're scraping on the ground for 5 minutes, getting this off your shoe. I mean, I couldn't get this off the TV.
You're just looking for something.
I couldn't get off the TV because I'm a football guy, so I'd throw it back on, hoping something happens, and nothing was happening. The first half was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the whole game was awful. I mean, San Fran scored first, and I was like, all right, there's some offense. You know, San Fran, I think, should win this game with Jimmy G back, and I think this looked better traditionally. Just everything looks a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, you know, all together, they look like a more glue team. Team that's all glued together and more can get it together with Jimmy G rather than Trey Lance. They're a better team with Jimmy G than Trey Lance, and they're run properly with him at quarterback. But it didn't end up being that way, and it's very, very, very disappointing. Same for Denver. They looked just as bad as they have all year. Russell Wilson hasn't done anything. Obviously, you can blame Nathaniel Hackett. Once again, we can say it again. You've been saying it the whole time. He's not the guy for the spot. But right now, what I watch from Russell Wilson is disappointing. And at some point, this guy's got to start getting some heat towards his name. And I think he's starting to feel it a little bit each week.
Yeah, I can't argue with it. I mean, you know, there is things that, you know, a first-year coach is going to, you know, make mistakes on. But as a veteran Pro Bowl quarterback and the type of caliber that Russell Wilson is, you know, you have to be able to overcome that. You need at least some of it. I mean, he hasn't looked like Russell Wilson. If I'm a Broncos fan right now, I'm definitely a little concerned because I haven't even seen a flash through 3 weeks of anything, any kind of Russell Wilson that we saw in Seattle. I mean, none. He's been bad. They haven't been able to consistently run the football because they're running with two running backs. I mean, there's no opportunity for Gordon or Williams to get a rhythm. And at this point, I think Williams should be taking
Javonte Williams needs 90%
of the snaps. He needs the ball. He's electric. But you don't give him an opportunity to get a rhythm and get a feel for the game when he's going in there for one series. They get a first down. They take him out. Gordon goes in. You cannot get a rhythm like that as a running back. In terms of the Niners, I think everybody needs to chill a little bit on the bad Jimmy G day. I really do. People aren't, you know, realizing that this guy's coming off shoulder surgery. This is his first game of the year coming off of shoulder surgery in the offseason when he didn't expect to be playing this early in the year. Just coming off just very recently getting a new contract. Listen, I know Jimmy G didn't look good on Sunday night, and I'm not saying that I love him as a quarterback because I don't, but I think a little bit of the slander from how he performed on Sunday night is a little bit too much, and I mean, you know what you're getting out of him. I don't know why people continuously get mad when they see the bad of Jimmy G because you know what you're getting. You know the good and the bad of Jimmy G, and people still continue to act like it's so shocking when he makes these stupid plays. He's going to make these stupid plays. He does it all the time. All the time. I don't know what else people expect, you know, out of some people. I mean, we do this with quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah, we do.
And I just, you know, he obviously didn't look good. They only scored 10 points. They couldn't really consistently run the ball. But, you know, he is coming off shoulder surgery. And I said it last week, and I'm going to stick with it. I think the 49ers right now are going to be better with Jimmy G in there. So I'm going to give a little more time.
I think he deserves a little more time also. But there's moments in this game, you know, I mean, when the score line's 11-10, right? It's 11-10 late in this game. There's a chance for this team to actually win the ballgame. And for the 49ers, it is. They're away. It's a big, you know, Russell Wilson's been getting really shut out. You have a chance to just go have an early season moment, maybe you could say, and go win a game. I think there was a drive right before the Broncos ended up getting the ball back and scoring a touchdown with Cortland Sutton late on a really, really actually nice throw by Wilson where I think they had a chance to do something. Jimmy just missed a wide-open receiver crossing. And obviously, you're going to miss throws. It's very inevitable for anybody, not just Jimmy G. But it's one of those drives where, like, nothing was going all game. I mean, no one was playing well. The only offensive guy that played well in this game was probably Jeff Wilson, who had a decent time on the ground. But I just expect the 49ers to just close out games more than the Broncos, because I think they're more of a winning franchise lately. I think they're as much as Kyle Shanahan might not be as favorited as he was in the past because of his decision in the Super Bowl and how he really hasn't got over the hump in the Super Bowl. He's been there, and it's week three. I'm not gonna, and of course he just comes back from shoulder surgery, like you said. But I would like to see this team win a game when the team you're playing is right now far less talented, I would say, right now on both sides of the ball, because just of how they're scheme and how they're looking so far. But that's just, I'm nitpicking extremely, of course. But that's really all from that game. There's nothing to talk about in this game. Other than just these teams can't play like this to win games, sustain winning. And how the Broncos are 2-1 is beyond me. It's really beyond me. The teams that they're playing are playing just as bad as them. And it's pretty impressive to see.
They really didn't deserve to win this game.
No, I don't think either team really deserved to win this game, to be honest.
So if you're Denver, you're thanking your lucky stars for being 2-1 right now, but you really have to figure it out, Russ. You really do. Because you have done everything but cook through 3 weeks, and it's just, you know.
Have you been seeing the memes?
I have.
Around with the, you know, like,
how
the
can you not?
Bowl of cereal and these hot dogs, and she's like, yeah, but Rex cook. He's not cooking.
You know, it's well deserved. You trade away a bunch of capital for this guy. You give him a big contract, and through 3 weeks, he looks like Jimmy G. You know, like, it just, you can't have that. You can't have that if you're Denver, so you definitely need to be thanking your lucky stars for 2-1 and. Yeah. Really trying to figure out what you have there, because, you know, Courtland Sutton had a nice night, and, you know, they have the pieces. You know, it's all about Russ. It's all about Russ.
It really is. And one thing in that trade that we haven't seen at all from this team was their usage of their tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Denver last year, with Noah Fant, they loved using Noah Fant, and they used their tight ends a lot. I don't know what it is. They just don't have any trust right now. Russell Wilson, that is, has any trust in his guys, in Albert O, who hasn't done a lick this team.
And he's talented.
He's a talented guy, yeah. I don't know what the rapport is with them. I know Russ in Seattle was, you know, always through to his tight ends. Always through to his tight ends. And he's not using them. And maybe, just maybe, it's something that the team might be lacking. It's just the usage of other guys. And maybe teams are just taking away the middle of the field from him because they just know that nothing's going there, and it's hard. Might be hard for him. And I can't give him an excuse. It's Russell Wilson, and this offense has no excuse. But it's just something to see, because in the scheme of last year, different coach, obviously, but the philosophy looks kind of the same. You're not using your tight ends at all. He's really not even getting targeted, not getting a chance. And that's today's NFL is a big part of everyone's offense. It's your tight end usage. So I'm not seeing it. And maybe that just can help. It just doesn't help Russell whatsoever. And maybe they got to go back to the drawing board and just say, hey, we're 2-1 somehow. We got to figure something out quickly to just get the offense back and score points. And maybe we should just involve other players, just run other plays, run something out of the box. But who knows? We'll see, man, because I don't know what to expect from these guys going forward.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's really tough to really judge and make an opinion on these guys with how they're playing. But it is what it is. Monday Night Football. Cowboys-Giants. Watched this whole game. I was intrigued by the Giants early in this game. The first drive of the game, they went down the field, got a field goal block. Second drive for the Giants, went down the field, did nothing with it, got backed up, had a punt. The Giants moved the football on this defense early, didn't capitalize. They didn't do it much since after that, which I think is the opportunity, the window that got taken away from them. We mentioned before, the Dallas defense is very good, and I really am surprised. I'm not surprised, but it's been better than I expected, and it looks like one of the best in the league right now. Micah Parsons has been sick. Trayvon Diggs is playing okay, but overall, I think I wanted to see the Giants, who don't have enough, but just, you know, punch in some of those catches early for this team to maybe, you know, have a chance to start 3-0, which is, again, a big surprise.
Yeah, I think I think overall we saw kind of what we expected, or, you know, at least what rational football fans expected. The Giants to show themselves. I mean, the Giants were maybe the flukiest 2-0 I've ever seen. I mean, they really are. And that's not just bias, you know, coming from a Washington fan. They're not a very talented football team. They didn't do a ton in this game. I mean, you talked about, you know, the early, you know, success of getting the ball down the field, but that was it. And, you know, Saquon had the, you know, the big 36-yard, you know, touchdown run. After that, he really didn't do much either. 14, you know, for 81 with a 36-yard run doesn't, you know, add up to being, you know, good, consistent running the football. Daniel Jones was getting pressured every single drop back. I mean, the biggest takeaway for me in this game was that the Dallas defense is, they're here. I mean, they are legit, as you pointed out earlier. They are absolutely
legit. No, they're more legit than I even thought, man.
I mean, they're scary. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, it was almost like a little bit of a throwback on Monday night. He looked like he did 5 years ago. I mean, obviously you have Micah Parsons there and Diggs and Daniel Jones had no time. I feel like I couldn't even really watch and critique Danny Dimes in this game because he didn't have any time to do anything at any point in the game. No. It seemed like the whole game he was being hounded. Cooper Rush was okay. You know, kind of what, you know, you expect out of a guy like him. You know, he did enough. You know, wasn't electric. Yeah. CD with a big drop, and you know, I think that's, you know, something that's not talked about enough. CD drops a lot.
He does
of balls,
drop. He drops
man.
Big ones too. He drops big plays.
Yes, too many to be like, too many to be one. Really, this guy you have to start.
He's a two,
I mean,
man.
That's a touchdown you dropped. A touchdown. I mean, and obviously he makes the one-handed touchdown grab at the end of the game to make it all better. But for me, we could talk about this a little bit more in detail, you know, at a different time. I know this isn't the time, but I don't see CD as a one. I think people who were saying that there should be a quarterback controversy in Dallas are out of their minds.
No.
But
shut
the defense,
that down now.
Yeah, exactly. But the defense is absolutely legit. Finally saw a good day from Pollard, and the Giants offensively, they're just not talented enough.
No.
The last thing before I'll turn over to you is definitely unfortunate for Sterling Shepard. Really unfortunate thing to see. You hate to see, you know, guys go down like that, you know, not even, you know, involved in the play. Really, really, really tough way for a guy to end a season so early. Other than that, you know, an elite defense in Dallas is scary for the rest of the division.
Yeah, it really is. I'm really excited to see Dallas play like the Eagles in this division and see how they far up, square up against. But you mentioned Sterling Shepard at the end, and yeah, he just... he's had some really bad luck, man, in his career. I feel for the guy because you don't ever, you know, you get your chance in the NFL, and it's been like 3 years now where he's had extended injuries, another season-ending injury. He had one earlier, or at least like a multi-game injury, and the guy just can't stay healthy, man. And again, it didn't even look like he did anything. It just something his body just gave, and it
wasn't even full speed running.
It's all
it
took.
It was more of a jog.
It's all it took. Yeah,
really unfortunate.
But hopefully he rests up soon, and I really hope he gets another chance in the NFL because I really don't know how many years he's going to do with his body, man. I wouldn't be surprised to see him just call it quits if it's just going to be this every year. But over to the Cowboys because they're the team right now that people talk about because of, you know, the Dak Prescott Cooper Rush thing. I can't believe that's even being
it's
brought
ridiculous.
Up. Why
it's
is
asinine.
That even being brought up?
Asinine.
It's not Cooper Rush team, man. And as much as people make it out to say, yeah, Cooper, you know, the ball looks better. The ball's moving better with Cooper. Stop. You played Tampa Week 1, great defense. It is what it is, man. He got hurt. Things aren't going to click Week 1. Cooper Rush is a good backup, and he's a guy that's going to go in there in games you need him to and just give you a shot. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's going to give you a shot for your defense to win the game, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
So with a defense like this, this is all you ask for the guy. You don't ask more. So that's got to get shut down immediately. But you, like you said, CeeDee Lamb and not a one is definitely he's got to be hearing it, man. Because I don't really. It's weird with CeeDee Lamb. You see CeeDee Lamb make plays, and you see the hype around him. You know he's young. He's got the speed. He's the guy right now on Dallas. And he, you know, he had 87 yards. He had a touchdown. Should have had two touchdowns. But he drops a lot of balls in crunch time. He drops a lot of balls, like a lot of deep balls. And it's really strange to me, man, because the guy's got the hands, but maybe he's just not as good as people really think. Maybe his ceiling isn't as high as some people might see it as. Because his ceiling's definitely high. It's definitely up there. He definitely can be better than what he is. But it's been 2 years, and he's done this a lot. He's done quite a few of these games where he has big drops. But, you know, he'll be all right. I think Aaron Judge has hit a 61st home run, by the way, as we speak. I had a Bob Nightingale tweet just pop up on the cellular device. You might want to check it out, see if that's a true statement or not.
talking to a big Yankee fan, that matters to me.
I think he did hit a 61st. But we're going to move on to the better things, which is the Cowboys. And Tony Pollard, he is levels ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, and I need him to be the primary running back. I get the splitting time, but this guy's got to be the guy at all times.
I told you when we talked, NFL season preview, when we went kind of deep into each team, they're not going to do it. They're paying Zeke too much money.
Yeah,
it's obvious that Pollard should be getting the majority of the touches, but they're just not going
to
do it.
I think he is. He's slowly starting to just, I mean, this game was just, he was in crunch time. He made the big runs. He made, you know, the flashy plays. Zeke just, he's just Zeke. He puts his head down and whatever he gets, he gets. And, you know, you want guys like that, but he can't do it as efficient anymore, man. No. He can't do it. He just can't do it. And whether or not, you know, that's age, just him just not being, you know, as into it, as engaged. But whatever it is, it's not really his football team anymore as much as everyone. That's why you don't pay running backs. You don't ever pay running backs unless you have a superstar running back. And, like, a Derrick Henry deserves to get paid. But it is what it is. From this game, it was extremely slow. There was really nothing going on in the first half. I was saying, oh, my goodness, another primetime game where there's nothing. And we're going to get another 14-13 type of game. But luckily, it ended up being a pretty decent game late, and the Cowboys just really showed who they are, what their identity is. That's, a lot of teams haven't found their identity yet this year. The Cowboys have it, and it's their defense and their pass rush, which DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks today, or not today, he had it Monday night. We had Durant Armstrong had a sack today. Donovan Wilson had a sack today. Multiple hurries. I think Daniel Jones got hurried somewhere of over almost 20 times in this game. In pressured situations. So Daniel Jones definitely didn't have a good game. He had a quarterback rating of 53 and change. But as much as it's on him, man, it's really not. And the guy doesn't really have much to do, much to go, you know, throw after. And the Giants just, I think we'll see the Giants come back down now after this game. The hype's over. And we'll see probably a 6-10 season from the New York Giants.
Yep.
Per usual. But is the truth here? Has Aaron Judge hit a 61st?
It is true.
It is true.
He has just tied Roger Maris at 61 home runs with a 2-run shot in Toronto to give the Yankees a 5-3 lead.
That's fantastic.
Not that any Philly fans care about that.
But. I mean, hey, I mean everyone's been seeing Aaron Judge on their screens for the past week, so it's good to see him finally hit the 61st and the 62nd set around the corner. I'm sure, but. Any other things you want to talk about before we run off, man? I mean, we didn't touch on a couple games. We didn't touch on the Atlanta game. If you have any thoughts about those games or anything else you want to touch on, Cincinnati dominated the Jets. Baltimore kind of dominated New England. Got scary, but anything really you want to talk about?
I don't care about any of the games that you just said, but I do want to sincerely thank you as an Eagles fan for not wanting to talk about the Eagles and Commanders today.
Yeah, now we can lay off, man. I haven't gotten to Eagles Commanders thing. I have felt like crap the last 3 days, ever since Sunday, to be honest. And I just haven't gotten myself motivated to get up and do it. I just haven't felt well. But today I felt a lot better. That's why I said, you know what, man, I'm just better off to do this today. And I'm glad we did it today. I'll get that out eventually. But yeah, man, it was Sunday. For me, was that right?
Yeah, they look legit, and Washington does not. So, you know, I don't want to get into it a ton.
Carson Wentz revenge game.
You have your own post game that you want to do for, you know, your Eagles fans. But they look legit, and Washington does not. So
that's all right. It happens, man. It's all good. But until next time, fellas, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Once again, I'm going to have a comment tab underneath the Spotify. option of this podcast once it gets put out there, which is usually about 20 minutes after this gets dropped on Anchor.fm, which you should sign up and follow for, which is always good. So thank you guys very much for listening. I appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed week 3 of the NFL rundown. And until week 4 starts, Connor, thanks for coming on, man. It's been a pleasure again. And we'll see you next time.